Pirate looks real good. Would like to see it stay that way. Penobscot Bay is noted for its lack of PSP and ASP. I'd hate to see a change. We're seeing a lot of good things happening in the bay. The cuttfish are all the way up to the lower end of DRL now. They haven't been there in 30 years. They're up around the north end of North Haven. They have, you know, this is schools of fish, not just an occasional rock cod. They haven't been there in a long time. The small hake and the scallops up around Little Deer Isle, they haven't been there in a long time. Granted, that mill's only been closed 4 or 5 years. But when you stop operating with that chlorine being allowed into it for the bleaching process, the bay seems to be coming back to it a little bit. You got salmon coming up in the rivers. You breached some dams. You got the herring, I mean the LYs, the other stuff all returned. There's all kinds of good stuff going on in the bay. And the outfall from growing 60 million, producing 60 million pounds of fish a year, that 10% of fine solids, suspended solids, that's going to be coming out through the pipe that they're not capturing, that's going to drift for a long ways around the bay. And it's also, it builds up in the wintertime. If we had 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness, would be good. Okay, because we could photosynthesize and manufacture all that stuff. But when that sun angle goes down, photosynthesis stops from late October, okay, till April, before it starts to pick up in the March. So that just allows all this nitrogen to accumulate and sets you up for bloom in the summertime. It's wrong for the bay. It's wrong, you know, for the species. I don't know. I can't say enough wrong with it. I was asked a week ago to fill out a survey on agriculture. And, you know, the first question was, you know, do you support it or do you oppose it? And it's like, how the hell do you answer it? On one end, you know, vehemently opposed, and on the other end, you're very supportive. You wish the oyster guys would get rid of the things. But anyway,
well, thank you.
I'll leave it
you're
for
actually,
that.
You actually put it very well, and it's very enlightening, and it's actually encouraging to hear the positive things you have to say about our fishery. So
it is, and it just please don't screw them up.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer Hill will be next. Again, Nancy Duran, Lanson, I believe, is following that. Robert Brewer, I believe, Chris Wright, and Lucky Skidgel appears to be following. You may proceed.
The Board of Environmental Protection, thank God you're here. Belfast Little River District needs you. Tonight, rousing myself to leave the warmth of our family's hearth for the chill and slush of a February evening, I think of all those people whom I know won't bother. Simple folk who just want to be left alone to enjoy their comforts, believing that nothing they can say or do will change the minds of the powers that be anyway. It has been an ugly battle. I won't speak on behalf of either side in the manner of right or wrong. I'm here only to tell you my own thoughts on the proposed corporate fish project. I am no scientist, but a retired businesswoman. Maine Business School finance professor Bob Strong taught us that before considering what a thing will cost, determine the need. What is the need here? The bottom line for Nordic Aqua Farms is to make money for their shareholders, which they have persuaded local proponents will result in more tax revenue for the city. That's obvious. We could all use more money. A certain number of environmentalists have been persuaded that the problem addressed is the amount of fossil fuels expended by flying fresh salmon from the coast, cold water of Norway to the markets along the eastern seaboard in the United States. But wait a minute. Solving dubious problems with money-making schemes hasn't worked for us in the past. If you don't believe me, visit the landfill. Real problems, like increasing public transportation, reducing industrial pollution, and our own ferocious demand for creature comforts continues unaddressed. These are our real environmental problems. Eric Heim has devised an Americanized version of the salmon, a product sequestered in huge tanks and fed meals of whatever the market will bear, flushing the creature's treated waste into the bay. The amount of energy required to circulate the millions of gallons of water around the clock for its years of operation is substantial and will give this proposed solution its own huge carbon footprint. We are immersed in our environment and cannot step outside of it. But for scientists and dreamers, we are destined to repeat what has gone before. The past is our gospel, our go-to for safety. How do we correct a course wrought for disaster for our species? Through the Department of Environmental Protection, the courts, public opinion. Well, let the correction begin. Young people are demanding it, and I am here to stand with them. Today, we seek wisdom and power from our Board of Environmental Protection. In a nod to the future, help us to say no to this false problem so that we may look to our future for real solutions to the vast, real environmental problems that we're facing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Seeing no questions, we can proceed to Nancy Durand. And I can't quite read if it's Lanson or Larson. Lanson. Very good. Thank you so much. In the wings should be Robert, I'm going to say Brewer, but they may be wrong. Chris Wright, Lucky Schedule, Susan Cutting after that, followed by Terry Falkingham. You may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you for coming first. I was desperating a little bit, but so my name is Nancy Duran Lanson. I live in Monroe and came to live in Maine with my husband 4.5 years ago. It was a conscious choice to finish raising our family in an environment that was closer to nature. When I first heard about the project, I waited to hear a little bit more. As months passed, what I was hearing and seeing didn't make any sense. I saw city officials quickly changing regulations to adapt to a project in order to rapidly secure a deal with corporate money. I could read Nordic's disregard for the environment despite shouting that their fish plant is eco-friendly. Their actions are leading examples. The pipelines changed 3 times to the benefit of them, not the bay. The effluents got closer to the coast and people's property, creating more issues than they started with. I am concerned, as the discharge will raise the temperature of an already alarming fast-warming Gulf of Maine. The temperature difference between the sea and the plant water discharge will be between 2 and 34 degrees Fahrenheit. No matter how much water there is in the bay, it will change the temperature as a higher positive. I was at the DEP Annual Climate Council meeting on January 29th, and the second scientific presentation was exactly on that topic and how climate change is affecting Maine's coast. They refer to fish species moving north of Maine as the water getting warmer, and that water surge are already affecting coastal developed areas. This plant, in addition to the one in Bucksport, and many more maybe, will highly contribute to the warming of the bay, as well as changing its salinity. DEP, BEP needs to put one and one together and realize that this kind of project is how we got into a climate crisis, and that your strong immediate actions are necessary to reduce Maine's emission by 2030, our first reduction deadline. You are not to add to Maine's emission for your colleagues to clean up, and who will if you are the one we pay for to do it, and you're not able to oppose tension. It has been done and it doesn't work. You just need to go and travel around US or the world to take a look at it. Or even just go to see Nordic's first plant in Denmark and realize that DEP isn't aligned with its mission right now. And that like us, you should be standing for what you are paid for. There is no human without a clean earth, therefore no economics. I will finish by first saying that the Little River site is inappropriate for Nordic to build an industrial farm. And then that feeding the world isn't a task that pertains to Belfast. This town and many around are thriving on small-scale businesses and farms that are so much in trend today and create much more jobs. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Seeing no questions, you're off the hook. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Robert Brewer, followed by Chris Wright, Lucky Schedule, Susan Cutting, and Terry Falkingham.
Hi, my name is Robert Brewer. I'm a fisherman, aquaculturist. I have a scallop farm in Penobscot Bay. And I don't think it's a good idea to be discharging into the bay with all that stuff, because it's not going to be good for anything. And really, a farm that big should be either offshore or further inland, away from the water, so it can't pollute the bay, because that doesn't help anybody out. So, it's very concerning to me. So, thanks.
Great. Thank you very much. You're an example of why we love public hearings. What concerns people is what concerns us, so we appreciate it. And we can proceed to Chris Wright. Lucky Schedule will be next, followed by Susan Cutting.
Hi, that's Chris Wright with a W, W-R-I-G-H-T. I'm from Belfast. I was thinking this evening was as much for asking questions as testifying, so I don't have too much to say, but probably it was several years ago that one of Nordic's consultants did some modeling as far as water coming in and out of the bay, as far as the water movement during tides. And they represented on a screen this movement by having something that looked like, to me, like ping pong balls on top of the water. And what happened during the presentation was that these ping pong balls moved a little bit and then moved back. Moved a little bit and then moved back. So I asked the consultant, does that mean that what goes into the bay does not leave the bay? And I was surprised to hear them say, yes, that's true. Putting that together with the fact that Penobscot Bay is warming faster than any comparably sized body of water on the planet, the idea of having effluent come into the bay and disturbing the mercury that's here and having the water temperature do nothing but rise and it all stays here, it just really doesn't make any sense to me at all. And just a stray thought that I had last week was this idea that we're taking a species that has been out in the wild forever, and we're trying to take all the conditions that support that species and put it on land. And that just seems really, really an odd thing to try to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And seeing no questions, we can go to Lucky Schedule. Susan Cutting, Terry Falkingham, John Murphy would be next in the queue. And if Lucky is not ready... Okay, Lucky will pass. We go to Susan Cutting. Terry Falkingham, John Murphy in the queue.
Hi, I'm also here with my son who wanted to say something, and we've written in his name on there on the list. I also am asking you to please deny the application for the permit for Nordic Aquafarms. And there's lots of reasons why I'm really concerned about the project, and here are just three of them. One, the health of the bay. Releasing 7.7 million gallons of chemically treated wastewater with 1,600 pounds of nitrogen every day, only like two-thirds of a mile from the shore into like 35 feet deep water will likely result in a continual plume of 100 million gallons of this effluent that is possibly 5 to 30 degrees warmer than the rest of the bay. And I'm not a scientist, but I can't see how that wouldn't affect the ecosystems of the bay. And I spend a lot of time on the water, regularly, I'm a rower, and I've been seeing a lot of fish and a lot of wildlife activity, more than ever before. And I've been so excited that the bay is finally recovering after the chicken farms, and this it's unthinkable to me to allow our bay to be harmed again. And I have to ask as well, I won't want my son to swim in the water in the effluent. And I ask, would you want your children to swim in that? Second reason is the ecosystems of those 34 acres of secondary growth mature forests, including 10 wetlands and bordering the Little River Trail. I have walked that trail many, many times with my family and friends. We've seen river otter slides, listened to the birds and frogs, and treasured this special natural area. The idea of taking down the forest, removing 15 to 18 feet of soil, or 215,000 cubic yards, to build this factory is literally obliterating the natural environment and taking this experience away from our community. And if they need to remove not only the trees and plants and animals, but also a huge amount of the soil itself in order to build this, destroying wetlands, a popular nature trail and reservoir, it's not an appropriate site for this project. Finally, I know it's not in your hearing criteria. I have 1 minute left. But I have to say, we can't afford to be excluding carbon footprint from the decision-making process any longer. And this factory would produce 550,000 to 759,000 metric tons of carbon, which is like 14,000 to 18,000 new households in Belfast, and increasing Belfast's carbon footprint 5 to 7 times. And this is irresponsible, and it's wrong, and it's for our children and our planet.
Now, would your son like to say hi?
All right. My name is Walden Cutting, and I'm 10 years old. I might be just a kid, but I do care about stopping Nordic, because... And there are a few reasons why. I've been to the forest by the Little River, and I really enjoy going there. And it's a really beautiful place, and I would just hate to see it be destroyed and replaced by a huge polluting fish factory. Second, when I visit there, I've seen many signs of beavers and other species of wildlife that live and thrive there. All species of animals deserve to have a habitat. So I just really hope that Nordic can be stopped, and this, so we can preserve this forest. Thank you.
That's great. I think we found our new chair. And let me just ask you, have you ever been to a proceeding like this before? This is your first time in a meeting like this?
I've been to one of these before, I think.
You did good. Thank you so much. Jerry Falkingham, John Murphy in the queue, followed by Christopher Hike, Rachel Herbiner, and Andrew Stevenson will be behind that.
Good evening. My name is Terry Falkingham, Jr. I am from Belfast, Maine, resident of 55 years. I am a commercial lobster fisherman also, self-employed for 40 years. Fishing out of Belfast Harbor and fishing all around the upper Penobscot Bay. And I would like to ask you folks if I could split my time with a fellow friend and fisherman of myself. So try to keep me on, make sure I'm under a minute and a half, because I'd like to make sure that he had what he has to say can use on my time. I am mainly concerned of the discharge and opposition of the discharge going into the amount of water going into the upper Penobscot Bay. We do not need water increased in temperature. I have a floating lobster car in Belfast Harbor, which floats 2,000 to 3,000 pounds of lobster daily, which would be devastating to that, my industry and my income. Young's Lobster Pound also draws intake of water coming into their facility, which would probably be non-existent. Where this discharge pipe comes out, there's also a mussel farm there that would be impacted. There's one right across the bay on the Islesboro side of the shore that would be impacted, and this fellow that spoke three or four things before me talked about cod. That is true. Cod fish and stuff are coming back into the upper Penobscot Bay. And I don't know how I am on time. I'm trying to cram a lot in there in a short time.
You're doing just fine.
This gentleman right here, his name is Hunter Penny. He's a resident of Waldo. He's 15 years old. And he's very the one of the most honest and respectable young fellows you'll probably ever meet. And I really admire the child. So I've given him the opportunity to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Have at it, Hunter.
My name is Hunter Penny. I'm 15 years old. I'm a fourth generation fisherman. I fished out of Belfast and own my own lobster boat. For the past 4 years, I've been lobster fishing the bay. I fish 150 traps and want to expand in the future. And when I graduate from high school, I want to be a lobster fisherman full time. I'm speaking tonight because I have concerns over the impact of lobster fishing. If the salmon farm is built in Belfast and it affects, it will have on the Penobscot Bay. One thing I have learned is lobstermen and lobsterwomen in our state have worked very hard at protecting our way of life and protecting our resources for my future and future generations. I'm worried that if the salmon farm is built, it's going to mess up the ecosystem, and our bay is potentially jeopardized my future and all the fishermen who depend on making a living.
Yes, could you spell your last name? I know how to spell it. Okay, Hunter Penny.
P-N-N-E-Y.
E-Y, okay. Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All set on
All time. Set. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great. And I believe John Murphy is next. It'll be followed by Christopher Hike. Rachel Herbener. I hope I am pronouncing correct, but I'll find out soon enough.
My name's John Murphy. I'm a resident of Belfast. I live not too far from the proposed site. My 12-year-old son got his first striper right in the area where the fish factory is proposing to dump their waste. And I'd like the opportunity for another 12-year-old to catch his first striper there. And I'm also concerned about anything that comes out of that area. Who is want to eat it with all the mercury that's going to be dredged up in their dredging operation? We all know the mercury's there. It's been proven by the Corps of Engineers. And what do you think is going to happen to that mercury? So I'm asking you to deny these permits for the good of the environment. Thank you.
Thank you. And seeing no questions, I want to check in with our reporter to make sure you're okay. All right, good.
Hi, my name's Christopher Hike. I'm a Belfast resident, and about 5 years ago, I attended a symposium at Point Lookout. It covered the Penobscot River watershed. It had innumerable speakers covering everything from dam removal to mercury toxins and that sort of thing. I attended one lecture there given by Diane Kopec, D-I-A-N-N-E-K-O-P-E-C. She's a PhD at the Senator George J. Mitchell Center of Sustainability Solutions at the University of Maine. Her specialty is wildlife ecology and environmental toxicology. I believe her expert is... Her expertise is in mercury sediments. The words that she had to say were quite disturbing. The problem is far more serious than I think most people understand. I suggest that Upstream Watch speak with her and give you some insights as to just how much mercury is likely to be disturbed by this dredging for the pipes. I don't think you could find a better expert witness. She's done 12 papers on the topic, and I hope you will consult her before you make your decision. And from what little I can recall from the symposium, I don't think you should really permit this to go forward. Thank you very much.
Yeah, just for my convenience, I was actually distracted by another sign-up. And I missed which person at the University of Maine you missed.
What was the person's name?
Diane Kopec. her last name is spelled K-O-P-E-C.
Yes. Yes, you may ask a question.
I'm not asking a question of you. Earlier this evening, there was a woman that spoke to me about wanting to testify this evening and having an exhibit she wanted to display, and I've been trying to find her, and if she's here, come see me. Thank you.
So that was Christopher Hike, I believe. We can go to Rachel Herbener. And please correct my pronunciation.
You did pretty well. It's Herbener. And I'll just make it brief. I oppose this for environmental reasons, and I ask that you do your job and take all of these testimonies into account and protect Belfast. And I really don't trust the company either to be truthful and straightforward. Thank you.
Thank you. And seeing no questions, I will go to Andrew Stevenson. Janie Phillips and Maddie Goodine are on deck. That'll finish up my third sheet of paper, and I will take some opposition, or some support, rather, for a few people as well. So we can continue with Mr. Stevenson.
Good evening, Mr. Duchesne, members of the board, and the representatives from the state regulatory agencies. Thank you for the work that you do and for allowing us to address you tonight. This is a very important topic. To begin, I want to acknowledge that we are all living today on the occupied lands of the Wabanaki Nation, one of the continent's first nations, and I hope to honor and respect that fact with my remarks tonight. In a sense, we are all truly from away. Here's my major concern about Nordic's plan and the permitting process it depends on. I have learned over my professional career that technology always outpaces regulation. The RAS technology is evolving rapidly. It is one of the youngest branches of commercial aquaculture. Its long-term impacts on surrounding environments are largely unknown. And there is no commercial facility of the size and design that Nordic has chosen anywhere else in the world today. I submit that you cannot reliably assess the long-term impacts of their proposed facility without the right yardstick. And this board, the DEP, and the other state regulatory agencies with responsibility over such enterprises need to be extremely cautious when deciding on RAS applications. To make your job harder, the track record for land-based RAS is not encouraging. The Nature Conservancy report listed 16 failed projects so far, and I have the reference in my prepared remarks, which I will leave with Mr. Maduro. The authors examined the reason for each failure, and they found that operational and management expertise is critical, and they warned that financial and technical success depends on, and I quote, modular systems allowing for project development and system redundancy in case of failure, technology validation via subscale demonstration projects, and proximity to major markets. Nordic's plan largely ignores this warning. In my mind, Nordic's construction plan is an all-or-nothing strategy. It wants to build all of its Stage 1 facilities together, then build all of its Stage 2 facilities, turn on the switch, and see if it and the team operating it will all work together without damaging the surrounding community or polluting the Penobscot Bay. What Nordic should have presented is a plan to build an end-to-end pilot-scale operation of modules that would complete one working example of a system that can successfully take a salmon egg and grow it to a market-sized fish. Once the bugs have been shaken out of version 1.0, so to speak, Nordic could build out a second end-to-end module. I urge you to postpone any decision on the various permits before you until Nordic provides a better plan, a substantial financial performance guarantee, and a suitable decommissioning bond. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Seeing no questions, Janie Phillips is next. Maddie Goodine, I believe, is after that. Then I'll be switching to Larissa Flimlin, Peter Del Greco, and Patricia Iger.
Good evening. My name is Janie Phillips, and I live in Belfast. This morning, as Mr. High made his opening remarks, he said, and I quote, "All that matters is what you produce," end quote. In that statement lies the reason for my objection to this project. Mr. Heim is a businessman, and his concern is his product, the market for that product, and the profit from that product. With all due respect to Mr. Heim, your product, meant for high-end markets and places outside our community, and its profits, largely benefiting an international company, are not all that matters to us, the people who live and work here. The destruction of 50 acres of forest and wildlife habitat matters. The daily discharge of 7.7 million gallons of warm wastewater into our bay matters. The enormous consumption of fresh water from our aquifers matters, and the enormous carbon footprint generated by this project matters. The potential disruption of mercury and subsequent consequences to our lobster fishery matters. The proposed blasting through a fragile intertidal zone without permission from its rightful owners matters. As citizens and stewards of this community and this planet, we have an obligation to protect and defend our natural resources. No amount of money can replace what is lost when habitats are destroyed and water is polluted. You've heard what matters to Mr. Heim. I've told you what matters to me and many others who share my concerns. The future of this project is in your hands. It's up to you to decide what matters most. Thank you for your time.
Great, thank you. Seeing no questions, we can proceed to Maddie. Godine?
Godine.
Godine. Yes, at any time you can correct me and, if necessary, scold me.
Hello, my name is Maddie Godine, G-O-D-I-N-E. I'm opposed to the Nordic Fish Farm for the environmental impact that would inevitably create harm in the bay. The industrial waste, the warming of the waters, the increase of nitrogen and mercury are all concerning, and I hope you oppose this for the health of our unique and beloved ecosystem here in the Penobscot Bay. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, I would like to get to a few of the supporters because they signed up early as well, and it would be unfair to put them to the end. Besides, at this point, I have three on one sheet and two on another, so we can proceed right to Larissa Flimlin. Peter Del Greco will be on deck, and I believe Patricia Igor would be third. You may proceed.
Hello. My name is Larissa Flimlin, and I live in Belfast. Before my husband and I moved here 2 years ago, we heard about this announcement that was coming to Belfast. The governor was talking about this, and they were going to make this big announcement, and it was Nordic aquaculture was coming here. At first, we were very excited, and then we learned that it was literally in our backyard. We live on Perkins Road. And so we have been attending a lot of sessions, getting the information. There have been a lot of specious arguments that I have heard. I'm not a scientist, but I have consulted with people that know the science. You know what specious arguments are. They're arguments that make something look very attractive, but they're wrong. A lot of the things that I've been hearing are really scientifically wrong. We support Nordic Aqua Farms coming. We're looking at the big picture. We had to make a decision before we moved here as to whether we would actually build our home knowing that this thing was coming in back of us. And after doing the research, talking to people, we decided to proceed. And so we live here now full time. We are very much in support, not for the reasons of taxes being lowered. I don't really believe that, because we came outside of Atlantic City when the casinos came in there. That was the same argument that was used there. Taxes were not lowered. So I'm not going for that. But we felt that it was, our consideration was that this was a good thing for Belfast, and we could not oppose something that was good for the town. So I live with someone that has spent 40 years in aquaculture. So a lot of the things that I'm hearing tonight, the arguments, I would consult him and other people that were knowledgeable in the industry and say, is this true? Is this going to be messing up our water? You know, the carbon footprint, all of this. And I found that there's some merit to some things, but the greater overall good is for Belfast, I believe. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, Peter Del Greco is next. Patricia Iger, I believe, is on deck after that. I will take Linda Sylvia O'Connor, who is neither for nor against after that, and then we'll resume with opposition.
Thank you, Presiding Officer Duchesne, and thank you to the entire board. Again, my name is Peter Del Greco, DELGRECO. I'm the president of a nonprofit economic development group called Main & Company. Like others that have been in front of you tonight, I'm not going to pretend that I'm a scientist. My liberal arts background just wouldn't stand scrutiny. But scientific group and many scientists have actually come out in support of this project. Personally, I work in economic development, and I'm excited about a project like this because of its potential to produce jobs and have a positive impact, economic impact for Belfast and the entire region. And I know that's not a primary or maybe even a secondary concern of this board, but that's from where we come from. I've done a lot of work in the Belfast area, both with the team from Nordic Aqua Farms, but even before that, bringing companies like Athena Health and On Process Technology to Belfast. They are employing approximately 1,000 people in this community. The governor's new economic development plan calls for attracting new people to the state of Maine. In fact, about 75,000 over the next 10 years. Projects like this help. I've worked with Nordic Aqua Farms for a little over 2 years now. I've found them to be a group that has the highest levels of integrity. They adhere to the highest levels of environmental standards that were imposed upon them through where they were coming from in Europe. Their standards there are higher than we have here, and they're bringing those standards to us. They're setting a new standard, especially in the world of discharge. When I travel and I go to aquaculture shows, people hear that we're working with Nordic Aqua Farms and people like Eric Heim, and he's viewed as an environmentalist and somebody who's doing things and putting projects together that are going to reduce the carbon impact that we're seeing across the world right now. They've been incredibly transparent. They've met with people in their living rooms. They're willing to meet and discuss this project with everyone. I have personally witnessed Eric Heim walking through a line of protesters right outside this door, shake hands with people that were saying some inappropriate things to him, and offer to very generously have an engaged discussion with them to share his project and his vision. This project has been subjected to tremendous scrutiny. The opposition has used personal attacks. They've been attacked locally for not being American enough. They've used circular reasoning to discredit the company, and they've had personal ad hominem attacks. If this company can meet the environmental standards that you set forth, I encourage you, I implore you, to judge this project on its environmental methods, not on its environmental standards, not on the methods of the opposition. And if it meets those environmental standards, I urge you to support and grant them their permits. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think I do have one. You stated that we've created, I think, the rules or the standards. In reality, the statute is created by the legislature, and the rules are set up through a permitting, through a rulemaking process. So what we actually do is follow what's already put in front of us that we're
fair enough
to follow. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? So Patricia, I believe, would be next. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have any printed material, do you have any?
Am I allowed to submit something via email by the 18th?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Patricia? No. Then I believe we can go right to Linda Sylvia O'Connor. And that would put Samantha Langley or Langloy on deck, Emily Harriman, Connie Hatch, Sally Brophy, and Jim Merkel will be the five following that.
Thank you. Thank you all for the work you do. And in my choosing the standing tonight, it's a real challenge to be, I'm a citizen of Belfast. I wanted to live here for 30 years. I'm finally, two years ago, moved to Belfast. With all the things considered and the environmental word that is part of what you do and what everything's around, I don't understand, and I don't know where you all, where this fits for you, but in looking at the different focal points, I see site location of development / Natural Resources Protection Act. So on that alone, I'd like to say I don't understand why environmentally you or anybody else would allow this to go on the site that's been chosen. When in Belfast we have 100 acres, plenty of room to grow, okay, by our industrial park. And it has the infrastructure for roads, which the other part of this location of development and natural resources is the access to Route 1 is a real danger to anybody traveling that route, where if they're next to the industrial park, they have all the infrastructure of the roads, they have a beautiful exit and entrance onto Route 1. I don't know why that isn't more being talked about and looked at, and it could make peace in many ways. If this project has to go forward and this project has merit and it can become a closed system, it's going to save the bay, or at least it's not going to be a contributor to problems in the bay. It's not going to move soil out of the pristine forest that's there. It's got a location that it can grow in. It's 100 acres that is here and was slated for more of an industrial use. And so that's the piece I'd really like you all to pay attention to. You've heard everything else that I think is a concern. And I'm going to say, I said thank you to you, and I'm going to thank Nordic Aqua Farms for one thing, for making us all more informed citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Whoops. All said, Robin? Okay, good. Seeing no questions, we go back to opposition. That would include Samantha. Can't quite tell from spelling if it's Langlois or Langley?
Langlois.
Langlois, okay. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Samantha Langlois. I live in Belfast. I have a master's degree in environmental studies and conservation biology. I homeschool my children, and I run our small farm. There are so many pieces to this project that I am concerned about, more than I can account for tonight in 3 minutes. I'm concerned about water usage. This project would draw surface water from the Little River watershed. I live on the Little River, upstream of this proposed project. I'm concerned as to how this project would affect the Little River watershed and my well and that of my neighbors. If my well is negatively impacted by this project, how much would it cost me to hire a hydrologist to prove that Nordic Aqua Farms was responsible for any damage to my well, as is required by law in order to receive any sort of restitution?
We may want to slow down just a little bit. You're comfortable?
Sorry.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, and at this point, I'm going to be pretty relaxed about the three-minute rule, so if you have substance to say.
Thank you.
Very
so
good.
Kind. The only thing we can count on about climate change is that everything is becoming more unpredictable. Just because we have abundant clean water now doesn't mean we should give it away. I'm concerned about effluent in the bay. Just because we have been dumping nitrogen into the Penobscot River and Penobscot Bay for decades doesn't mean that adding more is a good idea. We already know that animals raised in confinement get sick. Outbreaks of disease have to be treated, perhaps with antibiotics, perhaps with antivirals, perhaps with chemical cleaners. Will this project have filters sufficient to completely remove these pollutants? Or will the effluent and all these pollutants as well get dumped into the bay together? How many times have we heard that technology will prevent problems? Historically, technologies fail and problems happen. Maine's rivers are filled with dioxins, PCBs, and mercury because technologies fail. I'm concerned about the carbon footprint of this project. According to an extensive carbon footprint report compiled by local engineer Jim Merkel, this project would increase Belfast's carbon footprint 5 to 7 times. Belfast City Council recently signed onto the Global Covenant of Mayors for Climate and Energy because they are, theoretically, concerned about our carbon footprint. I don't see how our City Council can be both invested in reducing our carbon footprint and supportive of this project at the same time. I'm concerned about water temperature. I have read that the discharge waters from this project may average between 15 and 20 degrees warmer than the ambient temperature of Belfast Bay. It is well understood in environmental science that thermal pollution has profound impacts on the ecosystems where they occur. How will the increase in water temperature impact our bay? I was recently at a local issues forum that was put on for local homeschooled teens here in Belfast so they could learn firsthand about this project. One of our city council members announced to this group that he would not support Nordic Aquafarm's proposed project if it wasn't for the tax benefit for the town. He went on to apologize to the kids assembled for the environmental damage that has been caused by his generation. One brave teenage girl responded to his comment with, "An apology is not enough." I would go beyond that to say that an apology on the heels of business as usual is like a slap in the face. It's just talk. We need action. We are looking down the barrel of climate change. We can't afford to continue to put economic growth before environmental health and protection. That is how we have gotten ourselves into the current climate emergency. This project is a huge experiment. Let's not trust our children's future to an experiment. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, Emily Harriman, I believe, would be next. Emily Harriman, Connie Hatch, Sally Brophy, and Jim Merkel I have in the queue. And if Emily is not available, then we can go to Connie.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. My name is Connie Hatch. I live in Belfast. And thank you all for the time and effort you're putting into these hearings. All of you. All of you. Thank you. I've been a yoga teacher for over 15 years. Today, towards the end of each class, I guide my students to lie down on their mats for the final pose of Shavasana, a quiet pose of conscious relaxation. And one of the first things I say once everyone is down and still is this: surrender to the support of the earth. I realize that I am no longer sure that the earth will continue to be able to support us if we do not act to prevent further destruction to our land and oceans and air. I feel like Belfast and the entire mid-coast region of Maine has been put into harm's way, and I am deeply alarmed about the Nordic Aquafarm's proposal. Here is my comment. I begin with an assumption that everyone in this room and in this city and in the state of Maine and beyond wants to have access to clean water and air, healthy woodlands and forests, thriving rivers, estuaries, bays, and ocean. Here's another assumption: that most everyone in this room and in this city and in the state of Maine and beyond realizes that the entire planet is in an undeniable ecological crisis, meaning that all beings are vulnerable to the consequences of our ecosystems being unable to support basic survival needs. The people of the state of Maine can choose to be at the forefront of regenerative agriculture, regenerative economics, and a thriving egalitarian society, and supporting it all, a strong backbone of environmental stewardship. Why then would we consider giving the green light to a mega industrial project which clearly presents as the antithesis of an ecologically friendly and assured economic success story? I looked up the definition of regenerative agriculture, and this is what I found. Regenerative agriculture is a system of farming principles and practices that increases biodiversity, enriches soils, improves watersheds, and enhances ecosystems. Regenerative agriculture aims to capture carbon in soil and above-ground biomass, reversing current global trends of atmospheric accumulation. If you, the members of the Maine State Board of Environmental Protection, are assigned to enforce the laws related to environmental protection, then the proposed Nordic Aquafarms project needs to be rejected as a direct and unmitigated assault to the environment and to the common good. Thank you.
Thank you. And seeing no questions, we can go to Sally Brophy. Jim Merkel is in the queue. Amy Moffat, Joanne Most Wilds, Gretchen Heilman Piper would be following. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Sally Brophy, B-R-O-P-H-Y. I live here in Belfast. Thank you for your time. One of the statements Nordic often makes is, to feed the world, we have to do things differently. It is a dangerous illusion that we can solve global hunger by expanding industrial-scale agriculture. The world already grows more than enough food to feed 10 billion people.
Hunger is caused by a scarcity of power. Power over land, water, and wealth. Nordic isn't trying to feed the world. They're trying to feed people who can afford expensive fish. They want to do this by digging a giant hole in the Belfast Bay watershed, then filling that hole with huge concrete and steel machines that require enormous amounts of power and water. My family has been in Maine for 6 generations. Mainers are resilient. We can go from snow to freezing rain to heat waves all in the same week. We know how to check in with our neighbors and share what's needed. There are sustainable ways that this grand environment we share can produce healthy food. Nordic's proposal is not one of them. For example, Nordic is currently seeking a discharge permit. That permit is literally a license to pollute. Do we really want to go back to the past where building a giant food processing plant beside Belfast Bay was supposed to be the answer to our future prosperity? The crucial need for tax revenue makes the city and state susceptible to corporations promising money. We need to pay for schools and roads and snowplows, and the list goes on. But we can't pay for them with smoke and mirrors. As we heard this morning, Nordic hasn't even supplied a coherent financial plan. Their answer was, well, we need the permits before we'll have any details on our finances. I wish we could buy a business that way. Just give me the keys, and once I've moved in, I'll show you I can pay for it. Nordic likes to state that the carbon footprint of his product would be less than that of salmon air freighted from abroad. What happens if the lucrative markets of Boston and New York aren't open to buying Nordic's fish? Then Nordic will ship them wherever they need to in order to sell their product. There are no carbon savings in this misleading statement. In truth, Nordic's factory would be very carbon intensive. Growing food on chemical-intensive monoculture farms is quite literally destroying the resource base, soil, water, climate, on which future food production depends. We cannot afford business as usual. Now is the time to change these old patterns and address climate change by rolling back monopoly power and creating favorable conditions for more localized, resilient, and equitable food systems. Maine can be a leader in this. Our environment is Maine's most valuable asset. This board, as an independent decision-making authority responsible for the protection of our environment, can safeguard those assets to ensure that we can feed our communities in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. There are some folks who may have come in late who aren't aware that we have sign-up sheets going outside, so if anyone has come in late, we would ask you to sign up.
And if you...
And if there's anyone who came in late, did sign up, hasn't testified yet, and hasn't been sworn in yet, we would need to take care of that small little detail. But Mr. Merkel, you'd be up next. I have in the queue Amy Moffitt, Joanne Mosewild, Gretchen Heilman Piper.
Oh, someone needs to be sworn?
Yes.
Okay. Can you
need to be sworn in, sir?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We will get to you after this testimony because I want to make sure there's nothing else out there that on the sign-up sheets. So, Mr. Merkel.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm pleased to be here before you tonight. I've been to, I think this may be my 12th meeting with a room full of people. A large percentage, maybe 70-80% opposed, but it keeps marching forward. It was from the first even meeting to change the zoning. There was 3 rooms of people saying, slow down, stop, back in 2008, and the city just kept marching forward. So I do hope that you listen to the people in my community. I teach, my name is James Merkel, and I do teach at the university level sustainability. I was Dartmouth College's sustainability coordinator, and I helped do a carbon analysis of 110 buildings, including a medical center. So the paper that you've heard about, I was one of the co-authors on the carbon study. But when I teach, I have my students challenge them to find me a monoculture that doesn't require massive chemistry. And they can't find one. There's no known monoculture that can be sustained without extensive chemistry, because Rachel Carson showed us that when you try to isolate life, you have the most resistant forms start to take hold. And so I see it as a very dangerous thing. I mean, we collapsed fishery after fishery in Maine. The net pens were the savior, and now RAS systems are the savior. And they're not a savior. They're actually, I think, more risky because of the breeding factor in these massive tanks. And Nordic was trying to diss my study by saying that, oh, the study that we quoted in China for a much smaller facility, they had a stocking density one-third of Nordic, so they want to pack these fish really into there, and they want to feed them much less than the Chinese want to feed their fish, and overcrowd them, and that's how they're getting their efficiency. And so I really want you to look close at that data, because massive die-offs have occurred, and I noticed the internet gets scrubbed from them pretty quick. The CBC was reporting them up in Canada, and you can't find the links anymore. They're gone. But massive die-offs have happened in many facilities. So some of the errors I find in the site sighting is that this mature forest, not only is it a beloved forest, but a wildlife habitat, and it is an important connecting corridor to the upland. Because, you know, if you go down on the beach and see what's feeding, there's a lot of animals need to move up into the woodland from the beach, and they feed, and they move. And you don't have this habitat anywhere else that I could see in the whole Belfast Bay region. That's a very important area to move for the animals to move to the woodland. And that site was a buffer. It's a green belt to the city. It's got a beautiful hiking trail, but it's also a buffer to the watersheds. And if you even study back to the turn of the century, New York City would protect huge forest areas around all their reservoirs because it purifies water very inexpensively. Ecosystem services of a forest are the highest level of dollar value. An intact forest has the highest dollar value of ecosystem services because it's purifying the water, it's purifying the air, it's habitat, it's holding soils from erosion. Me and my boy, who spoke earlier, my 10-year-old, we went in there, and Nordic has mucked up, even in their exploratory drilling wells, every little creek that they crossed in mud season was mucked. Completely clogged with sediment right now. I have the pictures. and that, you know, they said, oh, it was raining and we went in and we had to go in anyway. Well, in mud season in Maine, you don't go in anyway in mud season. The second point I want to say is the soils are unstable, and I've walked that site many times. It's got 17 wetlands. You would never walk that site and say, I want to build a house there. So they want to remove between 12 and 20 and 48 feet of soil, and then import new soil, completely obliterate the site. So I would say they should be required to use a brownfield site, first off, with stable soils. A tailpipe as significant as Nordic's, whose nitrogen content 13 times the Belfast City sewer, that's the last number I have, 13 times the Belfast City sewer, should exit into deep ocean currents. In their early meetings, Nordic kept repeating, deep ocean currents, and then they found out it was 35 feet of water. That's not deep ocean currents. You can get deep ocean currents. I'm a sailor, and I sail all the time in and out of here, off of Rockport, Rockland, Owl's Head, you get 200 feet of water right away, 35 feet of water. And then when they calculate numbers, Nordic will say, oh, they calculated the whole Penobscot Bay. Well, that water's just going to sit in Belfast Bay. It would be more honest to say calculate the volume of Belfast Bay in that little area if you want to say how it's flushing. So I see that.
Let me just interrupt briefly.
Sure.
I'm not going to be cutting you off because this is really new information that we've not had a lot of opportunity to discuss before, so it's valuable to us. I just want to get an assessment about how much more you think you need to present to the board.
Maybe another 2 or 3 minutes?
I'll give you another 2.
Okay. All right. So I'll move on. And to, you know, we have shellfish closures currently, and I think you know that. So that's why I think adding more when you have a closure is not a smart idea. Now, I did the studies on the carbon with another friend, George Aguiar, and so we're looking at adding 150,000 cars to the road is as an easy equivalent. So Nordic's, I could give you all these numbers, they're crazy, but 550,000 metric tons of carbon. So if you look at the 2030 carbon goal for Maine, Nordic would represent 4 to 6% of the entire state's carbon goal for 2030. If you look at Maine's industrial sector electricity use, Nordic is a third of the total state's electricity use. That's if you look at the embodied energy of creating it and running it. So why does it have such a big impact? Well, it's that you're trying to pump so much water, and the feed has a big impact. So, but also the concrete, steel, tanks, buildings, pipelines, pumps, generators, filters, add to that the liquidation of the forest, which I've calculated the sequestration that the forest currently serves. It's sequestering carbon every year, but it's also storing carbon, both in the soils and in the trees themselves. So that whole number I have calculated in my report, which you have a copy of, but I'll make sure you get it. So that's so when you add that all up and then amortize it over useful life, that's how you get a very big carbon footprint. So my main point here, I would say, is that until Nordic can demonstrate a deep ocean current and a brownfield site and maybe a closed system, and or a zero carbon, you know, in Norway they had their current plan is to go to carbon neutral by 2025. So I think they'd have a hard time building this because it's an energy hog.
Great,
thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay. We have two groups of people who have been sworn in, those who have already spoken and those who haven't yet. So anyone who has not yet been sworn in, I would ask you to stand and raise your right hand. Anyone wishing to testify who has testified but not been sworn in, stand and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Good. Thank you so much. And I believe Amy Moffitt would be next. It could be Amy, Joanne Mostwild, Gretchen Heilman-Piper, Hillary Emma would be in the queue.
Hello. Thank you. Good evening. Chairman Duchesne, DEP members, and representatives from the various permitting authorities. I'm worried about the risks involved in the Nordic Aqua Farms proposed plant. Potential investors and supporters of large-scale salmon aquaculture plants, like the one proposed for Belfast, might want to take a step back. The Little River could easily become Maine's next abandoned industrial waste site. Holtra Chem, anyone? Because the Nordic industrial development is unlikely to be either successful or sustainable using its current business model. NAF's potential investors and the City of Belfast are speculating on a very large experiment using technology that could be outdated by the time it's operational, but cannot be downsized or repurposed because the business model will not work at smaller scales. This is important because there's no plan to pay for cleaning up the site if it fails or at the end of its useful economic life. NAF has chosen to locate in a sensitive coastal watershed. It wants to exploit intertidal zone land that it does not own, one currently protected by both covenant and a conservation easement. Nordic's potential facility would have a direct, immediate, and long-lasting effect on the marine environment by discharging a whopping 7.7 million gallons every day of tepid, nitrogen-laced brine into Belfast Bay. That would not be healthy for a Gulf of Maine that is already warming faster than any other U.S. marine environment. It could spawn algal blooms that will affect coastal Maine fisheries, hamper other forms of aquaculture, and degrade recreation in Belfast Bay and points below it. Water and energy use are also massive. Nordic is planning to draw more than 1,600 gallons a minute from the Belfast aquifer. The aquifer may be in fine shape now, but will likely suffer saltwater incursion, threatening residence water.
Nordic estimates that it will use 900,000 gallons of diesel fuel annually to run the generators for an enormous facility whose lights and heat must be on all the time. Combined with the truck traffic to supply fish food, including an unspecified amount of fish meal from relatively depleted wild fish populations, run trucks to major markets far down the coast, and dispose of massive amounts of fecal waste, this energy use amounts to significant carbon emissions. In conclusion, there are many reasons to doubt that the industrial development proposed by Nordic will ever be a success financially, technologically, and environmentally, given its current business model and environmental footprint. We hope that the BEP and the permitting authorities will consider these risks seriously in their deliberations. I beg you to deny Nordic this opportunity to destroy our environment, our home, so that they can line their pockets with gold. Thank you.
Thank you, and seeing no questions, we can proceed to Joanne. And when I said most wild, how close did I get?
Pretty close. it's Mosswild, Mosswilde. First name is Joanne, Joanne. Thank you all for this evening. I appreciate the list of areas of concern that you read at the beginning of the meeting. My comments are general, relevant, and I hope will encourage a different perspective on the issue at hand. Also, I can't stand up here without saying how sad I am that literally neighbors are pitted against neighbors. It's breaking my heart every day. But I want to talk to you about the commons. These elements of the commons. Water. It flows under all land and along all shores. Trees. Their roots reach beyond property lines, and the air they clean goes all around for all to breathe. Animals. They know no property lines. They travel freely, searching for food and homes and mates. Air. It's all around for each living creature, you and me too. Earth's soil. It's alive with microbes and life that we rarely see or feel, but we would be lost without them. These are the commons, aspects of our world that support life. The permitting process, which you are involved in, is a way to judge if certain groups will be allowed to use and take up certain aspects of the commons. I can't call these things resources because that makes it sound like there's something that are supposed to be used. The commons are what support life. I would say that this plan by the applicant, Nordic Aquafarms, is requesting the exclusive use of more than their fair share of our life. More than their fair share of our commons. More than their fair share of water, earth, trees, animal homes, habitat, air, soil. And they claim this in the name of money, but money doesn't bring life. Looking at our current situation in our world, with the dying species, the thirsty people, paved land, dirty water, the too loud and too bright night sky, I say enough. We need to look at things differently. Our current approach to such questions has gotten us into this state of climate change and earth disharmony. It's been a system of managing earth that has not worked well. So let's reconsider, and deeply, how we manage the life of our world. It could be simple. You could begin by walking in the forest and listening. Go to this forest, I ask you, before you make any decisions. Go there quietly. Go alone. Go with a loved one. But go there. And when you finish in the forest, please go sit by the mud flat where my children grew up playing. Sit, listen, feel it. And then you'll be further enlightened If you begin conversations with my neighbors, the ones I agree with, the ones I don't agree with, we need to work toward compromise. And don't forget to talk to the fishermen. They know more than anyone. The old system no longer serves us. I have a few suggestions, and they've been mentioned before by others.
I would ask you to, if you could get close to summarizing, because there are people behind you.
Yeah, I'm done. Mostly, I just want to say I propose limiting projects that are new to existing buildings and brown sites. Suggest to use technologies that are closed systems. Okay,
great.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much. I'm cognizant that our next witness may have some kids who are past their bedtime. I believe Gretchen Heilman-Piper would be next. Hillary Emma Eric Cohen-Salal would follow. Samantha Fair Ames and Bethany Algrove would be in the queue. You may proceed.
My name is Gretchen Heilman-Piper, and I'm a working mother of four children. I live in Swanville, Maine. Three of them are here with me tonight, and they decide their own bedtime. And they're not here to be cute. They're here because they've got my back, and they care about this issue very deeply. So I wish to address three areas of potential impact. Number one, the potential impact of our freshwater streams and wetlands. Each of my children have grown up hiking the Little River Trail system several times in each season, so and each year. So I'm crystal clear that the impact of this 56 acres and 40-some acres of infrastructure will decimate the mature forest, the wildlife habitats, and the wetlands. The rights of the animals and the trees and the streams must be upheld. From what I heard today, this project will use as much water as they can, and if a source goes dry, they will feed the fish less and wait, quote, several weeks to resume. But what if a drought lasts months or years? This is not a smart or acceptable use of fresh water, period. No, thank you. Number two, the potential impact of waste discharge on water quality, fisheries, marine resources, and other uses. People come from all over the world to sail this unique and beautiful coastline. I sail, I swim, I canoe, I kayak, and I visit the water and beach in Northport with my family year-round. I refuse to allow 7.7 million gallons per day, and because it takes 14 days to fully disperse in the bay, 107,800,000 gallons of, quote, effluent, containing, we don't know exactly what they're feeding the fish, as well as bacteria, viruses, chemicals. No. No, thank you. I am concerned about the temperature of the water they're discharging, algae blooms, local fish populations, the mercury that they could be disrupting. No. No, thank you. The potential impact to air quality. This is number three. We know this is a carbon-intensive project, and at 43, I've witnessed climate concerns become a climate emergency in my lifetime, and I refuse, given the only other operation like this in the world is less than one-fifth of its proposed size, I refuse to gamble with an experiment against nature and too many unanswered questions. I refuse to pass this problem on to my children. When the profit from this project will not even be staying in the community, let alone the country. For most of the 20th century, I quote, if you want to go to Belfast, go to Belfast. And that was a regional joke because of the stench from the poultry processing. We don't want to go backwards. We can not only do better, we can create and inspire environmentally sound carbon sequestering projects that benefit our town, Belfast, for all generations to come. Please, 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 please deny these permits. Thank you.
Thank you. All set. Hillary Emma. Okay. I'm not going to be able to stop it completely, but I'm going to minimize the applause as much as possible, and I appreciate the respect for the process, and thank you so much. And Hillary Emma?
Hillary Emma, E-M-M-A. I'm a citizen of Lincolnville.
Welcome.
Thank you. So I'm here to represent a voice that can't be present with us this evening. Those are the citizens of Frederickstad. This is a letter dated August 29th, 2019. Ours is a working-class residential area in the 82,286 inhabitant town of Frederickstad, Norway. Our new neighbor across the street is the first land-based fish farm in our country and promised to be the biggest worldwide. Owned by Nordic Aqua Farms, it started production in late May this year. Initially, we were all generally positive and felt the dialogue with the company to be good. Now, not so. First, the building process lasted ages. It was 2 years late in completion, mainly because of a large Danish contractor that took some geological shortcuts, nearly derailing the whole project and ending up in court. During construction, a gray haze of clay dust engulfed our homes, gardens, and cars time and again, as well as the lungs of our local kindergarten kids. All that is history. Terrible while it lasted. Now comes the future. This local future of ours held a surprise, a strange and constant humming noise, 24/7. Now we happen to be in the front line, literally, but the inhabitants of the row houses behind us on the adjacent street have started complaining too, saying that if they sleep with open windows, as most of us do, some in the summertime only, others all year round, then they hear it all night, plus the following day, plus the following night. Etc., etc., forever and ever. One of us had a talk with a worker at the site. He confirmed not only that this will last indefinitely, but also that it is due to the great fans needed to cool the fishing tanks being directed towards us. Asked whether the company could have built these noise machines at the far end of the fish farm from us, he said, sure, just another mistake. But it can't be righted now. Only the first fan or ventilator machine has started up. At least one more has been readied. One guy attending a meeting in one of our houses had taken home from his job a decibel meter, and sure enough, during a meeting he recorded 60 decibels in an open window. It would have been much more if Nordic Aqua Farms had not put up a tall earth wall towards us. Are they doing the same in Belfast, building an anti-noise wall? Incidentally, some of us recall Aqua Farms director Eric Heim, also of Belfast fame, promising us flat, there will be no noise. Well, thank you then. Instead, we now get 60 decibels with no respite. What fantastic lack of empathy, caring, decency, and for that matter, logic. Why pester us and forever? Because someone simply didn't know how to think. So there we are, and there you are. We are following the fishy business developing in Belfast with keen interest. We think you ought to be as skeptical as we unfortunately have learned to be. From close-up experience. I think that Nordic has already demonstrated that they are financially, technically, and morally incapable of completing this project.
And nothing reminds me how old I've gotten to the fact that I can't read off a smartphone screen. So, thank you so much. Eric Cohen Salal, I believe, would be next. Samantha Fair Ames, Bethany Algrove. Behind that, I'm expecting Lila Nation, it appears to be. You know who you are. G-E-I-R. That'll be in the queue, so we'll go to Eric.
My name is Eric Cohen Solal. I live in Monroe with my family. I have three children. This is my brief perspective on what is playing here. Looking at the history of the two last century, large companies mainly focus on one goal, profit. This is not their fault. They have shareholders to report to. In general, companies like Nordic will push what they think they know how to do. They have no direct incentive, and let's force to align their goals with long-term concerns like water source protection, contamination, public health issues, impact on tourism and fishery, having an industry constantly discharging in the ocean, and no long-term guarantee on employment. If we are lucky, they have good ethical practices. Most of the time, the only way to make sure that a company does not behave against public trust is to have an individual or a group of citizens to exert some form of monitoring and expose relevant information or activity that is deemed unaddressed, illegal, unethical, or against public interest, confronting a company's ways of doing business. Fracking is a perfect example. The oil and gas industry has no idea today what to do with the massive amount of contaminated water it's creating. No idea. Fracking fluids and waste have made their way into the drinking water and aquifer in Pennsylvania, Colorado, Ohio, Wyoming, New York, and West Virginia so far. There's a constant tension between the limited amount of public money for independent research and the fast time frame of large companies. Unfortunately, regulation can mostly address generic concerns, not specific ones. Only research and public scrutiny can avoid catastrophe, and time is needed. So what do we do? The main argument of Nordic Aquafarm, in a nutshell, is well for men and proteins. This is what it comes to. Well, ignorance is bliss. This project and its consequences are not well understood by Nordic. This project and its consequences are not well understood by Nordic. Their expertise is simply questionable today. I'm against this project. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Thank you. Well, Samantha will be next. Samantha Fair Ames.
Jane.
Jane.
Good evening. How are you all?
So far, so good.
Excellent. I am Samantha Jane Ames. I am a sixth generation captain and commercial fisherman from Matinicus Island. I am also a very passionate aquaculture farmer and a passionate and proud Mainer. I am so proud of all of the aquaculture projects that I've seen throughout Maine. I've worked on many farms, I've seen development, I've been throughout a lot of our coastline, and I know, like many people in this room, we are proud of Maine and the men and women that have created the Maine brand. It is built off the hard works of our local communities. Sorry. It is built off the hard work of our local communities, and it is really, really important to focus on the cold, clean waters because that is what has created this brand. This project is something I'm not proud of. And I hope that you all take it very seriously that the fate of our bay is in your hands. There is dead zones popping up worldwide, and I do not want to see Belfast a part of that. Our waters, our ocean, is what connects us globally, and it is so crucial now more than ever to take issues like this seriously. It is not just the rivers and the forests in Belfast that we need to be concerned about. It is our future. It is our connection worldwide. Please consider all of those things when you make your decision, and please do not approve these permits. You will be throwing away the hard work of sustainable fisheries and aquaculture. Maine is a leader in aquaculture. Give the local communities and the people who are working hard here at home a chance before you just give it away and ruin what we've worked so hard to build for a very, very long time. Thank you.
Great, thank you. See no questions. Thank you very much. Bethany will be next. In the meantime, I have, I believe, about eight people, including Bethany Algrove, left to go on the list I currently have. Any of us are free to leave the table and go take care of any needs as necessary, except our reporter. So I just need to check in and make sure everything's fine. Great, thank you. Bethany Algrove?
Yes, hi, thank you. I'm Bethany Algrove. I live in Lincolnville with my family. I have three boys. We moved here 5 years ago. We left the busy corporate Massachusetts lifestyle to get away from many things, including industrial-type environment. We wanted the quiet, the bay, the people, like everyone who's standing together behind us against this project. I've testified many times on this, so I'm not going to repeat all of the reasons and the things that scare me. I absolutely echo everything that's been said. We moved here because we wanted to own and operate a bed and breakfast. We love Lincolnville. We'd love to do it here, but I do not understand how any kind of tourist industry could possibly survive with what would be coming should this project go through. There's no way that disturbing the mercury is not going to create major issues, et cetera, with everything else that I promised I wouldn't repeat. So my husband and I are kind of at a standstill. We're not sure what to do, but there's absolutely no way that we would take the risk of going in on owning our own business on this coast if there's going to be a Nordic Aqua Farms. People do not come here. I mean, I guess one lady moved here for this, but the rest of us move here to be away from it, and nobody vacations here to be around it. So I really appreciate the time you are taking to listen to us. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. See no questions. I mentioned that Lila Nation, I believe, would be next, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And Gier, I'm not going to come close. But Gier as in G-E-I-R? Gier. Yeah. I didn't even get the first name right, and that's only got four letters. I don't see Lila moving forward, so if you want to jump up, and if Lila pops up again later, we can address that. And I just may say in the queue, Steve Stanford would be next, followed by Sam Shannon O'Lee and Jason Ron.
Thank you all for coming today and hearing me and my neighbors. My name is Geir Gorsaidness. I'm a Belfast resident building in Northport. I swim in the bay and row in the bay with my wife and two children. I'm here today to mount my defense of Belfast, a town that I've come to love, and of the world and its rapidly deteriorating environment. This town is facing a deep challenge, and our world is facing a complete crisis. Locally, we need good-paying jobs in Waldo County, and if we turn this business opportunity away, it will hurt us in numerous other ways. Tax relief has been mentioned, but I think more importantly, we will be left behind by yet another growth industry, and we are already scaring off entrepreneurs and investors in doing so. As for the global picture, there's a success story here with poverty down dramatically all over the world, and as literal billions enter the middle class, they want what we have: cars, air conditioning, and animal protein. The impact of this is massive. So our job is to reduce that impact in every single one of our trades and industries, and Nordic is doing that in theirs. Nordic represents the cutting edge in more responsible finfish farming, reducing the climate impact of a large chunk of our current food system. Supporting this project may perhaps be the single biggest thing a small town like Belfast can do for our climate crisis as a small town. I've worked the last 4 years with conservationists and extinction biologists to encourage the use of cutting-edge technology and entrepreneurship to end human-induced extinction. They, along with other major conservation groups, have identified aquaculture advances as a key tool for feeding us all with lower impacts, and that includes recirculating aquaculture systems, of which Nordic's approach is considered one of the best examples. Now, I suggest that we work with Nordic to measure more frequently, accurately, and comprehensively the health of this bay, and get a good baseline, make that data public so that we can keep a close eye on this project. we can work with them to reduce the carbon footprint of their farmed salmon even further, and also provide good-paying jobs for our young families. And we can work together to hold ourselves to a higher standard. I place my trust in expertise, conservationists I've worked with, the scientists who are looking closely at this project, the engineers who know how to build water filtration systems, and you, our regulators, to keep the big picture in mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And seeing no questions, I believe Steve Stanford would be next. That'll be followed by Sam, Jason, and Ron Huber will be next in the queue.
Good evening. My name is Steve Stanford. I live in Northport. This is my first hearing, actually, so I'm behind the eight ball, maybe with a lot of people, and I don't really seem to understand what's going on with this whole project. But I live on the mouth of the Little River, the point in question, and almost every day people stop at that point. It's a wonderful viewpoint. They stop and they get out of their car and they take pictures of this wonderful bay. And the question is, what will it look like when there's going to be a pipeline? And I asked the question, well, where is this pipeline going to be? Nobody seems to have any answer where it's going to enter the bay. So it's a little confusing how we get to a state of approval when it doesn't even seem to be a plan. It's like going on a trip, you know your destination, but you don't know how you're going to get there. It sort of feels like that's what it is. So environmentally, I built my house, and because it's shoreland zoning, I had to get any tree cut down. I had to get it approved. And here we have a project where I hear there's going to be some big trench that's going to go out into the bay. Today I hear the word blasting going on, and I ask the question, how can this be good for the environment? Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Seeing no questions, Sam Shenandoah-Lee, how close did I come?
Fairly close. Shenandoah-Lee. I'm a student at UMaine. I currently live in Bangor. I've been a resident here in Maine for 6 years. I moved from New Jersey. It's because of the woods that we all love so much. And so you had people tell you that they're against the project for flora, fauna, and the fishermen. I'm here to tell you that I'm against this for the fungi, meaning the fungi. Paul Stamets, leading mycologist, has made the argument that in the TED Talk, Six Ways Mushrooms Can Save the World, that we need to protect our forests as a matter of national defense. This is because the work he did with the Department of Defense found fungi species in Oregon in the forest that had higher biological activity than any other medicine we had before for the smallpox, H1N1, bird flu, and other viral diseases. Much like they are a pharmacy for us, the fungi are a pharmacy for the bees, pollinators, and other insects. They include fungi in their foraging, like the red-belted conch, and this helps keep their immune systems active. As you know, the pollinators are already on decline, especially here in Maine, and if you put, I believe it's 34 acres, and secondary growth, we could be losing species that we don't even know the implications of, because I believe the EPA doesn't include fungi in their survey, so please have that as a consideration. And also, I would like to reiterate the consideration of pharmaceuticals not being properly filtered out. We've been seeing time and time again that this has been the case, and we would hate to see that happen to you. Thank you so much. I actually would like to end on a quote by Henry David Thoreau, which says, many men go fishing all their lives without knowing that it is not the fish they are after.
Thank you, and I would remark that we have reams and reams of testimony and submissions and documents, and that was never in any of it. So that was unique. Thank you so much. Okay, in the queue, of course, Jason Ron is next, Ron Huber. Courtney Byers would be after that. And I believe our final two people who have signed up would be Camille Curran and John, whose handwriting is worse than mine. You may proceed.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I've been sitting at the back, and you guys really look like you're paying attention, so thank you. I appreciate it. It's not easy.
It always surprises people.
So I just want to point out a few things, and I had a longer thing with facts and stuff in it, but that is not what I'm feeling right now. So I'm going to just respond to some of what some people have said up here tonight, and I'll underline this by saying that, you know, these people are this investment group slash corporation, and the people who operate for it are here for only one reason, and that reason is to make money. And the way that they propose to do that involves an incredible amount of destruction of our environment here. And as others have pointed out, in no meaningful way is this any kind of a local economic development project. We can talk about effluent a little bit if we like. That's a word that's thrown around a lot. And it almost sounds like it's just nothing, something that can enter the bay. And then I looked it up, and effluent, it turns out, is liquid waste or sewage. So that's a fun thing to do when you're reading through all of the pages. Every time that benign little word effluent comes up, you can do that gymnastics in your mind and say, oh, liquid waste or sewage, liquid waste or sewage. In this state, in this country, on this planet right now, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that water is, you know, one of the biggest things that grabs are being made for. And I'm sure you all have, you know, in your capacity here, I'm sure that you've all dealt with, you know, various entities who are collecting or buying up water here in Maine, and this is just another one of those things. And I would point out that we are talking about a factory, a fossil fuel intensive fish factory that would set up, literally wants to set up on the drinking water supply of this area. Wise? I don't think so. But unfortunately, this isn't a special problem for just this area, as you also know, because you deal with this stuff, I think, on a statewide level. So I'd like to ask you if you could lean toward the people on this, because a lot of us understand what's happening in the world right now, and people are disappointed in governing bodies and believe that, you know, that they don't serve the interests of their people, of the people. And that's what I'm asking you to do, is in any way that you can lean toward the people, because the people here are so much more important than 15 Norwegian investors. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, Ron Huber will be next. I believe I still have Courtney behind, Courtney Byers, Camille Perrin, and I'm still looking, not sure if John from Lincolnville is, right. Okay, great, thank you.
Hello, board, and hello all, and Cynthia, seen you down the years here. My name's Ron Huber. I'm a friend of Penobscot Bay since 1992, and I've had the privilege of being before the board in some of its different iterations down the decades, and have seen that it will, when necessary, take a look at the greater impact, the cumulative impacts that one project can have when it's balanced with another project. In particular, I really feel like DEP is dropping the ball on that one this time right now, that instead of looking at the cumulative impacts, I mean, I begged Greg Wood back, what was it, a year and a half ago, something like that. You have two of them on a salmon river. That is, you have one down in the estuary and one up, and now there's another in Millinocket. Don't go, well, they're all on separate streams or different neighborhoods or something. They won't impact each other. Of course they do. And you've heard all the different things that will be coming out of their effluents or their sewage, whatever you want to call it. Now, when you place that up against what we heard earlier, and that was about the different fishermen saying, look at that, codfish are coming back here, scallops, others like that, you don't want to start reducing that water quality this way. Now, you know, I know that you're bound by a certain duty of looking at the effects of multiples of these projects, and not just going, well, it'll all sort of dilute away a little bit, and let's just pretend like that. Because once this, if these get approved, both of them, then there's going to be a derby on, because no other one will be able to get turned down for having an excess impact. Because how could two of them together not have an excess impact? And then a fourth, and a fifth, and you'll have the sort of mess that in a way, the urchin fishery was. Suddenly it was, let's just fish, 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 and bam, knocked them off. Anyway, here, I think, and this whole point about neighborhoods, by the way, if you're an Elver or a Salmon or something, you know, Belfast and Bucksport are neighbors. They're just two things you go through. So, you know, we should really look at it that way. Look at it from the fish's point of view, not from the developer wannabe's point of view. So I'd really ask you to consider putting a brake on this one project. That you need to have some kind of Penobscot estuary study. There was one about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and I've been trying. There's a national estuary program, but they absolutely refuse to put Penobscot Bay into that, although Casco Bay is. It's terrible because right now the developers, things have warmed up. There's more developer interest in the river and the bay, and and if you would order some kind of estuary study undertaking, you know, from Millinocket down to Port Klein, Isle of Ho, you would really get an idea of what is okay to add in there and what's not. As I say, because if they get their permits, there'll be a lot more coming right behind them. And finally, I think given the fact that Nordic and whole oceans, for that matter, are going to be taking water from the most mercury-tainted river there is in New England, that you ask the Center for Disease Control to develop a label for them, not to impose right on their retail sales, but if they do fail a random test and you find unacceptable levels of mercury, you've got this like a sort of Damocles hanging over them. They don't, it could keep things. So I think really that was it. And as I say, just mind what the fisherman and scallop farmer said earlier. Think about cumulative impacts and how ignoring them leads to a derby situation. You could end up with an awful lot, all of them making the same claims, and suddenly we have a really degrading water quality going down, not up. And think about those mercury labels, too. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll go to Courtney next. Courtney Byers. In the queue, of course, Camille Perrin and John, whose name I can't pronounce.
Hi, my name is Courtney Byers, and I'm a resident of Waldo. I homeschool my two children, and there's a slew of kids in the back, which is probably something you don't normally see at your meetings. Many are homeschoolers, some are public schooled as well. And I think it would be a great lesson to show them that when you show up for something and have the courage to speak, things can change. So I'm holding you to that challenge. As a homeschooling mom, I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to tell you any facts that you don't know. I'm really bad at throwing out numbers on the spot, so I won't try. But I do want to appeal to you as a parent who is raising their children in this area, who swim in this bay, who hike on these trails. We moved here partly because of the pristine nature that's all around. I think lots of people come to Maine for that reason. Many people move here. Our town is growing. I can't imagine how enormous fish tanks would support that economically or for tourism or people moving to this area. I also work as a doula in this community, which means that I assist women and all birthing people who are pregnant and birthing, and then postpartum after they've had their babies. So as I've heard the research that so many local residents here have done, the thing I'm most concerned about is the unknown levels of mercury that will enter the bay upon dredging. I don't know if those levels can be predicted before it's done or not, but that concerns me. We all know the implications for mercury in the diets of pregnant women and their unborn children. So I ask you to consider that and the real risk that that poses for all people here who are fishermen and fisherwomen and all of us who are eating what they're catching and raising themselves. I care about the future of our food economy and the food sovereignty in this community. I've been inspired to see young people get up here and share about their generational history of fishing and their desire to continue in it. And so I ask that you protect that for them and for everyone. We have amazing organizations that already exist in Maine, like the Down East Salmon Federation, and many others that are working in conjunction with that to remove dams and restore natural fishways, building fish ladders, so that our native fish populations can come back, which I find to be incredibly innovative and exciting. And I ask, why would we not give all of our energy to those kinds of projects and instead divert it with this huge plant that's going to be raising salmon in a tank and then not feeding the people here as a foreign company? Why would we not invest in all these exciting projects that are already happening in Maine to restore our native fisheries? I just want to end with a challenge to you and letting you know what I would most want to see, and that is an environment. I most want to see an environmentalism, and I want to see you uphold this kind of environmentalism that values the rights of all species, animals, plants, humans of all kinds, and local economies over capitalism. And that's what I ask you to do today by rejecting the permitting process for Nordic Aqua Farms. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill Perrin, please.
Good evening. Thank you all for being here tonight and for hosting this public meeting. My name is Camille Perrin, and I live locally here about 20 minutes outside of Belfast. I wanted to share an experience I had attending a previous meeting with Nordic Aqua Farms about the affluent. They were answering questions from the community. In addition to the pollution and the toxic heavy metals and everything emptying out into this affluent, I asked what their plan was with the vaccinations that they'll be administering the fish in this fish farm, as well as the antibiotic use, and if they had any plans on combating that from entering Penobscot Bay. At that meeting, they had someone on their team who did not appear to be a qualified scientist, who actually seemed to be representing a food supplier for Nordic Aqua Farms at the time, blatantly telling me I was wrong and that vaccinations are not transmittable through water or through fish waste. I have researched this again and again. I'm not a scientist. Google is a great university for me, and I have found multiple scientific reviews stating that vaccinations and antibiotics are indeed part of what ends up in the fish waste in massive commercial fish farms of this size and nature. I personally feel that in addition to everything else that everyone's talked about tonight, the pollution that's going to be supposedly in this affluent, that allowing micro amounts, if you don't know what a vaccination is, micro amounts of diseases that are injected into these fish, I personally feel that micro amounts of these diseases and the antibiotics from the fish farm could be a disastrous, toxic soup for Penobscot Bay. And I think it would be highly irresponsible to allow something of that nature to potentially destroy many different species in the Penobscot Bay here in Maine. I do not support this permit for Nordic Aqua Farms, and I hope that this board makes the right decision here. Thank you.
Thank you. And John, if you would be so kind, and I can make out the P in your first name, and after that, I can't.
Sorry about that. Pincince is the last name, P-I-N-C-I-N-C-E.
Good, thank you.
I live in Lincolnville, and some years ago, I retired from teaching over on Islesboro and decided that one of the things I wanted to do was become a Maine guide, and so I did, and one of the reasons I did is because I like to fish, not so much that I like to kill anything, and I hunt also. I sometimes do take animals for food, but one of the species that that I admire most is the Atlantic salmon, the wild Atlantic salmon. I just wondered if, If any of you have ever seen a wild Atlantic salmon, they're creatures of extraordinary grace and beauty. Fishing the duck trap where I live, there are Atlantic salmon there, small ones, smolts, and they've been trying to come back up into the river there since they were depleted many years ago by overfishing, pollution, dams, not the duck trap, fortunately, but and so they do exist there. I've caught some by accident because they're an endangered species. I don't really want to catch them, and as soon as I realized that it is a salmon, I use barbless hooks, and so they are released immediately without even taking them out of the water. There's only, I think, six rivers on the entire East Coast that have Atlantic salmon in them, wild Atlantic salmon. The duck trap is one of them. My fear is that the effluent from the plant, the proposed plant, is going to mess up the ability for salmon to be able to navigate their way back to the rivers of their birth. The effluent, who knows what's in it? And we know that salmon depend on their sense of smell to be able to get back to their rivers of their birth. And if we mess up the chemistry of the water, they may not be able to do that, and that would be a loss, not for fishermen so much as really for all of us, for the planet, because we are all one. We're all connected, and the death or the disappearance of any one species really falls on all of us. So I am obviously opposed to this plant. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I believe we have one final person to testify, Shanna Hansen. And you have not been sworn in yet, as I understand it. So if you would be kind enough to raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Good. You may proceed.
Thank you. So I would have been on time, but I had a baby goat born just as I landed home at 5:30, and this is a warm bottle for the way home. So I'm not really sure why. Pardon me if I'm repeating what people have said because I haven't been here, but I'm wondering if people have thought about extreme weather events. I'm studying a lot about climate change, and I've been in conferences in Vermont, and everybody there has been dealing with huge floods, and we've been dealing with droughts here, but it could flip-flop. And so I'm really wondering how much thought has been put into what happens when that whole place goes underwater and everything from those tanks goes into the bay, including the fish and the medications and all the, you know. So I guess that was my main point, and I didn't prepare a speech.
Oh, that's just fine. In fact, it was pertinent.
Yeah.
Since you are, I'd be the last person talking, and we're going to be closing the hearing in a moment, I just want to thank you and everybody who testified tonight. And Steve, Peltier has
a question. Can I make one more short comment?
Absolutely.
It's just that is such a special spot. I have pruned the fruit trees at Jeffrey Mabee's house right where the river comes out for many, many years, and each time I spend like an hour extra watching hundreds of ducks there. I don't know what's so special about that spot, but I know it's going to change if this happens. And for 100 jobs in a town of 7,000 people, it just, I don't know, doesn't seem worth it. Doesn't seem worth the risk. So anyway, I'm opposed. Thank you. Sorry to ramble on.
Is that previous witness still present? Any of your questions still present?
I just had one quick question, just to make sure I caught something right, from a woman named, I think it was Eileen Wolper, if she's still here. Just real quick, if you could come up.
Please?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, all good.
Thanks.
Sure.
I wasn't sure if I caught this right, but I wasn't aware of any covenants or anything on that land, and I thought I might have heard you said there's something about some protected easements on the property where beyond the shoreline zone for the trails.
The Harriet Hartley, have you heard of the Harriet Hartley Conservation?
I thought you were talking about the upper.
No, I was talking about the.
Okay, so.
The pipes going across that conservation
okay,
that, land.
Okay, I thought yeah. there might be some other protected.
No.
Good. Just
that's what I was
sure because I hadn't heard anything more about.
There is a covenant. On
mm-hmm. Oh, there is a covenant too.
Yes, which really at this point is not actually a matter for the hearing tonight, but we appreciate the attention brought to it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I got those mixed up.
No, and
you
I
want to address it.
No, mm-hmm. no it's mine. I thought it was something in the upland portions up there. So thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Well, for everybody still present, the written record is open until Tuesday, February 18th at 5 p.m. So if you have written submissions you want to make, the record is still open. You may do so. On behalf of the board and especially myself, I'd really like to thank everybody for being here tonight. We are somewhat constrained by what statute is, what rules are, what standards are, but you're not. And what we get out of an evening like this is the urgency and the energy it takes to make sure that we do our homework. We ask all the right questions, we read every page that comes before us, and we do the hard work as long as it takes because it really matters for you. So thank you so much for coming tonight and for